You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Journey that the Lord has been teaching me about prayer and the challenge in my prayer life. And so I was thinking of, you know, boy, there's so much that the Lord is challenging me in the way I pray and what he's, you know, asking and what I want and all those kinds of things. But I did have to come up with something because it had to be on your handout this morning. So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to choose this one. Praying, I want more. Because I do. I want more of who Jesus is. I want more than maybe I'm experiencing. I know I want more than what I'm experiencing. There's always more. So I decided to land on that one because maybe it wasn't as threatening as my next thought was praying risky prayers. That was the other thing. I thought, you know, maybe I could title it praying risky prayers because I've been challenged to expand on my prayer life and praying those risky prayers. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But then I also thought, gosh, you know, really what I've been going through in the last, especially the last 6 months, is really prayer evaluation, evaluating why I'm praying, how I'm praying, who God is, how I'm speaking, talking to him on a daily basis. So then I thought about prayer evaluation, but I thought, yeah, that's kind of boring. So I went ahead and did praying, I want more. And I, you know, I believe that you want more too when you pray and spend time in prayer. So that's what we're doing. And happy Mother's Day again. The most familiar mom I could think of to talk about who was a mother who prayed was Susanna Wesley. She gave no excuse you don't have an excuse when you think about Susanna Wesley because she had 19 children. She was the mother of John and Charles Wesley, two men who impacted millions of lives for Jesus. And so how many of you have heard of Susanna Wesley and her prayer life? So yeah, it's pretty famous. She's a mother that influenced the world as well. Well, Susanna would throw her apron over her head in order to have that quiet time with 19 children. Where else do you go? So she threw her apron over her head, and that was the signal of do not disturb. When Mama was praying, everyone better mind themselves. And she did. She was a woman of prayer. This isn't necessarily a message just for mothers, or just for women, for that matter. It's a message on prayer. And but I do want to say this. For every mother here, I know one thing about you. We pray. We pray. Regardless of where you are in your faith, prayer is part of it. There is nothing that brings us to our knees like our children and our families. I know that for sure. Today, also, I want to recognize our mothers who have prayed for us. All of us have a mother, and many of those mothers prayed for you, and you're here because your mother prayed for you. But we also want to recognize those who have stepped in as a mother for you and prayed for you. And many of you have stepped in to that place of being a mother to somebody who needs a mother, and we recognize you. Thank you. Thank you for praying. Keep praying, because prayer works. Prayer matters. All right, so this message started about 6 months ago, so it better be good, right? I've had plenty of time to think about it. It was November, and I was walking on the beach, and I began to pray. And I was calling out to God, and I was praying for our kids, and I was praying for our grandkids. And the Lord stopped me, and he said to me, if you understood me as shalom, you would pray differently. Shalom, peace. If you would experience peace in your life, you would be praying differently. It literally stopped me because it was such a right word for me. It hit home. It was so accurate. I often prayed with deep distress and torn with anxiety, and I'd be praying for my kids and praying for my grandkids with such, you know, this intensity. And it became a habit because I'd been doing it for so long. But I also want to say, don't get me wrong, because there are times that we do that. There are times that we pray because life and circumstances are distressful sometimes. There's times that you do call out and God hears us, and you have to pray with that fervency. But it seemed like that all my prayer life was more like mayday, mayday, torn with anxiety. And the Lord was wanting to do something in me. My need to change the way I prayed was not so much for those that I prayed for, but it was for me, because I needed peace in my life. And so I know that many of you can agree with that, having peace in your life so that it's not this place of anxiety or distress, calling out to God when we know him, when we know who he is. And that's what the Lord was saying. Do you know me? Do you know that I am powerful, that I'm never going to leave you, that I see things that you don't see, and I'm already working in those areas? Do you know me? And I needed to know him in a new way. How will my life change when I pray understanding and embracing the God of peace? So that's why I used the title, Prayer, I Need More. I want more peace. I want more shalom in my life. I want to know him more so that I can pray. And under whatever circumstance I'm facing, whatever's happening in our lives, that I can still have peace. I want that. I want more. There's a man in the Old Testament. His name is Gideon. Many of you are familiar with him. He was a guy who was hiding. He was a self-described coward. He also described himself as the weakest man in his family. And God gave him a calling to save his people while he was hiding, while he was afraid. God said, "You are going to save your people." And it wasn't just a small thing. They were being attacked by vicious people who were trying to totally wipe them out. They were starving. They were hiding. And God said to Gideon, "I am sending you." In Judges 6, 22 through 24, God said to Gideon some things that brought this shalom peace to Gideon. Because Gideon, after hearing this word from God, he doubted it. You know, really? God, you're going to use me? Are you sure you know who I am? Are you sure you know what you're doing? Okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put out some tests for you. And if you pass these tests, which are called fleeces in Judges, then I'm going to believe that you really know what you're talking about. So Gideon did, and God answered. And he says this to, in Judges 6, 22 through 24, it says this: "When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, 'Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.' 'It's all right,' the Lord replied. 'Do not be afraid. You will not die.' And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom," which means the Lord is peace. He experienced the Lord's peace. "There on the beach, God began teaching me more about him. He stopped me and he said, 'I am Shalom, the God of peace, the Prince of peace. What would it be like to live in peace every day?' And I've been really intentionally seeking the Lord on that. And my life has been changing to a place of more peacefulness, because I want to be a person of peace. Jesus is saying, 'Do you know who I am? If you knew me, you would pray differently.'" And it's true. Think about it. If you really embrace who God is, you would be praying differently. Now, when the Lord said that, I really had something to pray about. And so there's a saying that says, what we pray about says a lot about who we are and what we believe about God. And if I believe who God is, then my prayer life will change. I heard a teaching many years ago on the progression of faith and how we pray based on Psalm 23. And many of you are familiar with Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And so it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The new believer, he comes to know the shepherd. He comes to this place of salvation and he says, oh, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And when the new believer prays, boom, it happens. And the Lord is right there next to him, just encouraging him in his faith. And the new believer prays for healing for somebody and bam, it happens. There's this prayer that happens almost instantly because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then as you walk along the Lord and you're discovering who God is, and you come to this place where you're progressing in your discipling and your discipleship of who Jesus is, and all of a sudden you're experiencing God in deeper ways. He's wanting to grow your faith deeper. And so then when you pray, you find yourself waiting. It's not happening just boom or bam. You're waiting. You're trusting. You're needing to believe that God is who he says he is. Your faith is deepening. He's putting roots in. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, that progression of faith. So now you're maturing in your faith and you're a disciple who's making disciples and you're praying and God stops you on the beach in your path and says, if you understood me as Shalom, you would pray differently. Oh, he restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You are with me. That's Shalom, peace in the valley of the shadow of death. And you get it. You've walked along long enough to know who God is. You're discovering him every day. You never stop. But then you get to this place of maturity and you say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Shalom. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is a beautiful progression of faith. It's a beautiful picture of how your prayer life grows. In the Gospel of John, chapter 17, Jesus is praying. Now, this is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is when the disciples said to Jesus, teach us to pray. And so he taught them through the Lord's Prayer. In chapter 17 of John, this is Jesus praying. We went through the book of John this year in Bible study, and when we came to this chapter, it was another time that I was, you know, when we were learning it, reading it, it was being taught, I was like, oh, okay, I want to pray like Jesus. So this was my prayer evaluation. So I was evaluating how I prayed and keeping in mind, embracing that Shalom, that peace in my life. Now, in chapter 17 of John, this is the longest prayer recorded in the Bible, and Jesus begins praying for himself. Now, in John chapter 16, he's talking to his disciples, and he's telling them, I'm going to go. You're not going to see me much longer. I'm sending my Holy Spirit. He's going to be here. You can pray to the Father, and the Father hears you. Now, the disciples are not real thrilled with this. You know, they're going, what? Why are you talking in parables? Where are you going? What do you mean by that? And he's going to the cross. Jesus is going to the cross. And so when he prays in chapter 17, he begins by praying for himself. In verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. So he begins by praying for himself. And then he prays for us. And as we read through the chapter of John 17, he prays for us in three different ways. He prays that we would be kept, that we would be set apart or sanctified, and he prays that we would be unified. And so he prays to begin with for us to be kept, and he says this in his prayer in verse 11. And I am no longer in the world, but you are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you gave me, that they may be one even as we are one. Jesus prayed that we would be kept. I often find myself praying for blessing and safety, especially for you and for my family and for my kids. Bless them, Lord. Keep them safe, Lord. But I've also been challenged in this time, this season of my life, with this prayer that Jesus was praying to expand on praying to be kept. What does it mean to be kept? Francis Chan says this about prayer. He says, we are consumed by safety, obsessed with it, actually. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for God's protection. It says in God's word that we're supposed to pray for protection. But I'm questioning how we've made safety our highest priority. We've elevated safety to the neglect of whatever would bring God the most glory, or whatever would accomplish his purposes in our lives and in the world. Wow. Now that's praying risky prayers. That is praying with some risk. So with that in mind, and with the intentionality of not praying generic blessing and safety, I really wanted to be more intentional in praying the prayer that they would be kept, that I would be kept, that you would be kept. And what is Jesus praying that we would be kept from? So I've been praying, Lord, would you keep us in the place where your Holy Spirit is present and speaking? No matter how uncomfortable or awkward it might seem at the time, the Holy Spirit is working. I want to be kept there. Kept in the knowledge that we are valued and loved unconditionally. Kept from my mind telling me contrary to that. Kept in the truth of who Jesus is. Kept from the persuasion of the world that is contrary to God's best for my growth and my fruitfulness. Kept in the fight. Wow, that's a risky prayer. Because there is a gift of desperation, because boy, do we go after God in those times. But that we would be kept in the fight. C.S. Lewis said, hardship often prepares an ordinary people for extraordinary destiny. That we would be kept in hope of restoration, of recovery, of redemption. Be kept kept from rash and impulsive decisions. Kept in strength and dedication to run the race set before me. Kept in the place of being hungry and thirsty for more of God and God's word. Then Jesus prays that we would be set apart, sanctified. That's a churchy word for being set apart. God has called us to be people that are called out to be set apart. It says in verse 15 of John 17, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Do you know we need the world as much as the world needs us? Set apart, yes. We're supposed to be set apart. But we're not supposed to escape. We're not supposed to isolate. We're not supposed to insulate ourselves. I have a picture of a monastery built. These monasteries were built on high rocks in the 7th to the 12th century. And yes, they definitely wanted to be set apart. They were insulated. They were isolated. This was escapism. He's not asking us to do that. He's asking us to be set apart but stay in the world. 1 Peter 2:9 says this, But we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I've been praying to be set apart for myself and for my kids and my grandkids and for you. When we get those prayer requests, we really do pray for you. But I've been praying this way, pray that we would embrace being peculiar people. It's okay to be peculiar. And Jesus didn't ask us to be taken out of the world, but that we would be set apart and we would embrace being peculiar people. I have a picture of a fish. You're probably wondering, where is she going with this? This is a codfish. Years ago, when the codfish was exported from the Pacific Northwest throughout the country, they would freeze it and ship it. Well, when it got to the market, because they were delicate fish, they had lost their flavor. So then they decided to ship the fish alive in salt water so that when they got to the market, it would be fresh. And but what they found out then is that it was mushy and it had lost its firmness. So finally, they shipped the cod alive in salt water with their natural enemy, the catfish. And they had to dodge the catfish all the way to the market. And what they found out is that when they got to market, they were fresh, they were firm, and they were tasty. Here's the point. If we're in the world and not in the Word, we become like the world, tasteless. If we're in the Word and removed from the world, so we're in the Word, but we're removed from the world, we'll become fat and mushy. We need a little chasing challenge. We can't isolate ourselves. We can't insulate ourselves. So we pray, God, we pray to be peculiar people, guided and led by your Word and by your Holy Spirit. And I also pray this. I pray this for you, and I pray this for me and my family. Let us not be so peculiar that the world doesn't even want to be associated with us. We don't want to turn off people, especially people that we know you love and care about. Bob Goff, who wrote Everybody Always, writes, find strange people and welcome them into your life. You may have a whole family full of them already. So, Jesus prayed for us. He prayed that we would be unified. He says, and he prays this in verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, and they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Jesus prayed that we would be unified, praying not just to get along with each other, but praying for unity to commit to one another, unity to give together, to serve together, to work together, unity to accomplish kingdom purposes, unity in one mind and one heart. Because when the world sees us, if we're not unified, we're not attractive. Why would you want to be a part of someone who's torn apart? One heart, one mind, unify us, Lord. We pray for unity, compassion for one another, forgiveness for one another, kindness and gentleness. Walking in the valley of the shadow of death together, unified, compassionate, to rejoice together, to believe together, because we're better together. Ron mentioned that I was gone for a few days, and I had gone to Seattle with our interns. We were working a fundraiser for Microsoft, and so I also considered calling this prayer reboot because we were with Microsoft with a lot of their computers. But, and that's true, it is a prayer reboot for me. It's embracing that he is my peace because of who he is, I can have peace, and that I can experience complete shalom in life despite the circumstances that we face. And so one of the things that I've been doing in this season of my prayer reboot is I get up early in the morning and I set my timer, and I began doing this for 5 minutes. Now you might think 5 minutes out, that's nothing. That's not being very prayerful, but try it. Try it every day. I set my timer for 5 minutes. I'd lift my eyes and my head just like Jesus did, and I'd walk and I'd pray. 5 minutes is a long time to stay intentional. I don't know about you, but you know, I could see things that need to be done. You know, I could be distracted. But when I know the timer's on and I have to stay with it, then I am more intentional to pray. And I've been praying, Lord, I pray to be kept. I pray to be set apart. I pray for unity. You have it on your handout. And I want to challenge you to pray. Set your clock, set your timer, 5 minutes, and be intentional and stay focused and pray for 5 minutes. And then increase it. And keep increasing it as your time allows. But I want to pray like Jesus. We don't need to overcomplicate it or make it more intense or scary than it is. Prayer is simply talking and communicating with God, which means the key to prayer is simply praying. In Hebrew, the word shalom has many significant meanings. The following blessing is a compilation of scriptures on shalom. And I want to end this morning by just reading this prayer over you and embrace shalom in your life. And this is what shalom means. May you be whole in body, soul, and spirit as a result of being in harmony with God's will and purpose for your life. May his peace be your covering and your heart know his fullness. And by his mighty power, may you know victory over every enemy. May he bring to pass the deepest desires of your heart. May you know the healing power of his presence and the restoration of every broken relationship. Through his sufficiency, may every need that you face be met by limitless resources. May his covenant promises be fulfilled in your life and in your family. May he bring you to the greatest measure of contentment and the deepest satisfaction that your heart can possibly know. Shalom. Our God of peace. Would you stand with me this morning? Again, I want to challenge you to take this. Set your timers in the morning or sometime during the day that you can be very focused on praying. You'll see your life change. Embrace the God of peace in your life. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward if they would start making their way up so everybody knows who you are and where you are. And this morning, I don't want you to leave here without prayer. If there's something on your heart, and maybe you're in that place of distress, then call out because he is there. God is powerful, and he's ready to meet your every need. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much because you are the Prince of Peace, the God of Peace. Shalom. Thank you, Jesus. Father, you fill us with peace. And we are so thankful that we are your people and you hear us and you respond to us and you walk through things with us. And our faith is deepened when we trust you. Jesus, I just thank you so much for this day, for the mothers, for the women, for everyone who's a prayer warrior. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you this day in your precious name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.